Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
My ticket for the long way round. Two bottle of whiskey for the way. And I sure would like some sweet company. And I'm leaving tomorrow. What do you say? When I'm gone.
When I'm gone.
When I'm gone. You're gonna miss me. You're gonna miss me by my hair.
You're gonna miss me everywhere.
Oh, you're gonna miss me when I'm gone.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 626. I'm Amy Matheny, and wow, we are launching into the big Memorial holiday weekend. And what does that mean? It means summer has kicked off. It means we can wear those white pants and those white shoes. And it means movies, movies, movies. It is absolutely all about the movies every summer. And this summer, I think it's even more so. Whether it's the summer blockbusters, and there are so many of those coming. Chick flicks, feel-good movies, some horror films, and also high-profile movies of LGBT interest. There is just a lot to choose from. It is all slamming into the movie theaters. And who better to look at all that good stuff with me than the fabulous movie queen and movie diva extraordinaire and my good friend Richard Knight Jr. from Night at the Movies. Hey, Richard, how are you?
I'm very good. I'm feeling the pressure, the weight of all those movies pressing down.
There are so many, and like you,
there are so many coming. I can't wait.
Well, in your column at Windy City Times and I at the Movies, you know, you talk about a lot of different movies. You tell us what to go see. You know, you command us to go check out some things that you know we're excited about. And I mean, I'm still behind. I haven't even seen Helen Mirren's new movie, so you know I've not been to the movie theater.
Oh, I was going to say, and that is, you know, it got a critical drubbing, but it, I think, unfair because, you know, it's a good story. It's a good old fashioned picture.
Yeah. Well, it's in my queue, and luckily I'm kind of now caught up on, you know, I've got some kids in my life now, so I'm kind of caught up on the whole Marvel Odyssey. And so, you know, we kind of feel like this kicked off a couple of weeks ago with Marvel's Avengers Age of Ultron, which some people are polarized on. I thought it was really, really fun. But, you know, my expectations are just like, let me eat a lot of popcorn and have fun with a 10 and a 13 year old. So I had a blast. But
how many times have you seen it?
Oh, I've only seen that one, but I mean, you know, I had to go back and make sure I'd seen, like, I still haven't seen, like, Thor 2 or whatever, but, you know, kids really want you to know everything when you go in. Like, you must see this one, you must see this one, you know, before you go in. So
got your homework cut out for you there.
I have had my homework cut out for me, but, but big blockbusters really start this month of May, and before we start talking about them, you know, I mean, I just have these memories of these quintessential movies that are burned in my head that I seem to remember seeing in the summer. I mean, I remember going to see Independence Day in the movie theater. I remember seeing Raiders of the Lost Ark in the movie theater. I remember seeing, I remember seeing striptease in the movie theater. Don't ask me why, but all the lesbians will understand. you know, it's like these movies.
I understand.
Thank you for understanding the lesbian in you. But has summer movie season changed, Richard? I mean, you've been doing this a long time, covering film. I mean, has it changed what happens in the summer and what a movie has to do and what kind of movies come out? Or has it always been about this chewy, delicious, big,
no, it actually has not, and I'm old enough to remember actually when summer season began. Summer was the time that studios dumped movies, stuff that they didn't care about. It was all about, you know, low-budget genre stuff, because in my day, people went to drive-ins.
Yes,
they didn't go to the movies in the summer. And everything changed in 1975 when a young director named Steven Spielberg made a movie called Jaws.
Yep.
And that literally, with one film, created the summer blockbuster. Everything changed. There's before Jaws and after Jaws. And then 2 years later came Star Wars, which changed the whole thing.
Yep.
So this idea of the summer blockbuster spectacular has been in place for 40 years. Now, what's happened, see, this is interesting. You started out, we're already well into the summer season, the beginning of May. It's still cold out.
It is in Chicago. Yes, it is.
So you've started to see this blurring of kind of, it used to be like a given. You open this movie in July, it's a big hit. Well, they've taken, you know, a lot of these surefire things have not worked in the summer.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, if you want to see a blockbuster, sometimes they open these things in the fall against the critical award winner kind of things. So I think that's what's changed about summer. For one thing, is that it's not always the blockbuster season. You know, an actress you might be familiar, an actor you might be familiar with named Meryl Streep.
Yes.
Several years ago, opened a movie called The Devil Wears Prada. I'm pretty sure it was Prada.
Yep.
I want to say it was in August, which is usually like the dead zone.
Yep.
Major hit. And then it was like every year, then she did Mamma Mia. Then she did, like every year then, they counter-programmed with, you know, some of these quote-unquote older actors like De Niro.
Yes.
So because all of a sudden they realize there's an audience that will go that does not want to see Ant-Man, that doesn't want to see, you know, the Avengers or these comic book blockbustery things. So if anything, I think a lot of the rules have changed. That, you know, this sequel-itis, and we are going to see a lot of sequels this summer, they don't always work.
Yep. Well, and they may not always work, but definitely there are some good pedigrees coming out this year in the, you know, in the sequel genre. We've got, you know, do you think of a sequel as like, okay, came out like, I don't know, like, you know, like a Iron Man, and then Iron Man 2 comes out, and then Iron Man 3 comes out, and they come out pretty close together, right? Mission Impossible is coming out this summer.
Mission Impossible 27.
which is crazy because, you know, if we talk about this Tom Cruise Mission Impossible series, you know, he's actually had some time in between them all. I mean, he's pushing, I think it was the New York Times that had a huge article about how, like, all the action stars this year all are so close to having their ARP card.
Which is quite
funny. But, you know, you have Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation, and all of those films have been really well received. But then
Fast and the Furious 7. And was like globally, I think, like $2 billion or something. Ridiculous.
Yep.
The most successful of all of them.
Yeah. Well, and also, you know, but then you have these series or sequels that have had long, long gestations between them, which I think we're seeing happen this summer with a few films. The first one coming out is the Mad Max. Almost not really a sequel. I don't know if it's a prequel, a sequel, or just redux. I don't know what it is.
That's like a reboot, I think is the word, you know, which they're doing also with Poltergeist this year. The interesting thing about Mad Max, which opens, I want to say that's in theaters like now. cool, yeah. like or yeah. pretty cool. It's George S. Miller. It's the same director who did the original movie in the early 80s and hasn't done a ton, you know, as of late, and has, you know, gone and had this, you know, huge new CGI look and the big budget and Charlize Theron and Tom Hardy. And I think it looks pretty tasty. I can't wait to see that one.
Well, and then the other one that looks really, I mean, you know, that I know people will be excited about because at least the first two were, you know, extraordinary films. And that's the Terminator Genesis, which will, you know, take the Terminator story farther along, which will come out right before 4th of July weekend. I definitely remember seeing Terminator 2 in the movie theater.
With Linda Hamilton,
you know, lesbians everywhere remember, you know,
Michael
the face
Bean.
Off that we all wanted to have between Sigourney Weaver in Aliens and Linda Hamilton in Terminator 2, and like which one would kick ass better was an early contest for lesbians.
I'm actually excited that they've gone back, you know, for that one, because the last version of it, the Christian Bale thing, was just not very good. So I'm excited. I'm glad they got Arnold out of retirement. You know, he's back and everything. So I'm psyched. I think the sequel that I'm so psyched about more than anything is Jurassic World, though.
Me too.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Killer dinosaurs.
and Chris Pratt, I mean, who's just come off Guardians of the Galaxy, which was probably my favorite movie last year. And I'm a bit of a movie snob. Like, I don't actually see a lot of the blockbusters. And I saw Guardians of the Galaxy, and I loved it. Now, I have loved Chris Pratt since he was playing the geeky jock or the airheaded, that's what I should say, the airheaded jock on Everwood on the WB. Many, many, many years ago. And now to see him have this big, you know, television career with Parks and Recreation and now starting to have this film career. But I'm so excited about him. And Bryce Dallas Howard, I mean, isn't it Bryce Dallas Howard? Or is it?
I believe so. I believe that's it.
I can't remember if it's her or if it's the other gorgeous
woman. Just love
Jessica Chastain. I can't remember which one it is. But
I can't make it. They kind of blend together for me, too. This is like one of those movies, I don't care who's in it, just bring on those raptors, those velociraptors.
Oh, really? No, see, I really
no,
care.
No, I mean, I love Jeff Goldblum in the first one, and I love Sam Neill, and I liked, you know, Julianne Moore, who always reminded me of Annette O'Toole.
Well, no, the first one wasn't the first one, Laura Dern.
Laura Dern was in the first one, and Jeff Goldblum's in the first one, and Sam Neill is in the first, and then I think they brought him back for that. Anyway, I just love that they never listen. They ignore it. Oh, we're better than these dinosaurs. And one by one, they're like these, you know, disaster pictures.
Yeah. Oh, I'm super, super excited about Jurassic World, and that that comes out kind of in the middle of, well, here in June 12th. Yeah, that's very, very exciting. The other one is The Fantastic Four, which will come out more. They've got a few more
August,
of these superhero films in Fantastic Four. And then Ant-Man, which the title alone, the character alone sounds goofy, 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 but the trailer looks really good, and it's Paul Rudd. Should I leave you some space here now to talk about Paul Rudd?
Yeah, I am. I definitely am not quite as in love with the superhero men in tights kind of thing as I once was. But that one does look like it has its charms, and it also looks like it has some great action.
Are you one of those gay men who see? I think Paul Rudd is one of those guys that you know, if you told the world, like, oh, gay men really, really love Paul Rudd, I think they'd all be kind of like surprised in some ways. But he has like such a soft spot in the gay community, right?
I think so.
Yeah,
yeah. He's sweet, and I still love. Is it called My Brother's an Idiot? One where he's the sweetest man in the world.
I don't know.
And he has the meanest sisters, and he gets thrown into jail. I'm sorry, it's off the subject, but I've loved him in so many movies where, yes, he does have that kind of sweet affect that you just kind of go to.
Yeah.
I mean,
go ahead.
No, you go.
I was just going to say, and on that side of, like, you know, everybody falls in love with Paul Rudd, men, women, gay, straight, doesn't matter. And then I also think, like, everybody falls in love with George Clooney, gay, straight, doesn't matter, whatever. And Tomorrowland is his big new film. And the thing I'm excited about Tomorrowland is that it's not a sequel and it's not based on a comic book from what I know. It's an original
theme park ride.
It's a theme park ride, but it's like an original, right? I mean, it's at least an original,
Yeah, they're keeping it under wraps. And I'm also very psyched about the fact that, yes, it's original. It's not a sequel. And yet it sounds familiar. So, yeah, I would say I'm also very psyched about that one.
Well, yeah. And I think that it also has, Brad Bird directing it, which I think is going to be, and Damon Lindelof, who did
Lost,
is the writer.
The Star Trek movies, and I can't even, you know, credits after credits after credits. He's kind of like the it boy right now.
Yeah. So I feel good about that. Are there any other blockbusters I'm missing? You mentioned Poltergeist, and I always think that horror kind of comes into the summer genre. It's kind of the time when Scream comes out, or the first Poltergeist. Now we're having a reboot of Poltergeist, and I'm kind of excited because I love Poltergeist. And for a new generation, if it's good, that will be very exciting, I think.
Well, if it's good, I mean, you know, I don't know. I'm it just sort of depends.
Yeah.
I'm all for, yes, creating things for new generation, but there's also something about, I mean, how are you going to improve on, who's the little diminutive actress that played Tangina? Yeah.
Not her.
The little girl, you know, the Southern, the woman who comes in and says, you know, let's go get your daughter.
This place is
Zelda Rubinstein.
Yeah.
And I think Craig T. Nelson and Joe Beth Williams are so good.
Yeah.
In that film as that kind of suburban loosey-goosey couple who all of a sudden kind of have to get their act together when their house is infested by these poltergeists. So we'll see. I'm excited. I hope it's, you know, just not this big special event effects extravaganza.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that are really, that's the thing about the first one, is you really do love those characters.
Yep.
Those people, and you really kind of are invested in getting that little girl back.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I do think it has some casting going for it. I love Sam Rockwell, and he hasn't done anything in a while, and Rosemary DeWitt. So if they're playing the couple, that will be interesting too. I mean, I think they have kind of the same hand that
darker.
Joe Beth and
they're,
Craig
right.
T. Nelson.
They're definitely a little bit more edgy.
Yes,
those two.
Yeah,
you know, I think they're both excellent. You know, exquisite actors. Don't get me wrong, but
yeah. Well, we're going to break for tell you what's going on in the news and what's going on in the theater world, and then we'll be back because there are tons of fun summer movies. Some of them have already
we're gonna
come out.
Are we going on for 10 hours tonight?
Yeah, about 10 hours. About 10 hours tonight, just to get it all done.
Yeah,
always, there's some movies for the ladies. They seem to remember us in the summer. They give us like two bones, but usually they're the best bones in the whole world, so I'm pretty excited about that. And also what's coming out in the LGBT interest area for us this summer. So we'll be back with Richard Knight Jr. after this.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News. The Cleveland City Council approved a resolution supporting marriage equality in Ohio. 14 of the council's 16 members approved the resolution. Other Ohio cities that have approved similar non-binding resolutions include Cincinnati, Columbus, and Athens.
The Hawaii legislature passed a bill that could make it a lot easier for transgender people to change their gender on their birth certificates, joining a number of states to make the change. The bill removes the requirement of gender reassignment surgery, and the measure now goes to the governor.
In Chicago, the organization Amigas Latinas is folding after 20 years of offering a wide range of support, education, and advocacy for Chicago area LGBTQ Latinas. On July 10th, founders, former board members, past and current Amiga Latinas members, friends, and families will come together to celebrate the organization's history.
Just days after Racine, Wisconsin teen Cameron Langrell announced to friends and classmates online that she identified as a transgender girl, switching her Facebook gender identifier to female, the 15-year-old took her life at her home on May 1st. The artistic freshman had faced incessant bullying at Horlick High School. Langrell's death is the 10th reported suicide of a trans youth in the U.S. this year.
A day after, 17 million people watched former Olympian Bruce Jenner tell ABC News' Diane Sawyer that he identifies as a woman, a crowd of Utah high school students watched as their transgender fellow classmate was crowned prom queen. Baca Brown, 18, and a senior at Salt Lake School for the Performing Arts, is believed to be the state's first transgender prom queen.
A transgender inmate who is suing the State Department of Corrections has been transferred from Georgia State Prison to a medium security lockup prison. The inmate, Ashley Alton Diamond, sued the prison system in February in part over concerns for her safety. Recently, the U.S. District Court in Macon was told of an episode at the prison in which Diamond claims she was given a sexually explicit and threatening note while attending church.
An anti-LGBT video game uploaded to the digital game store Steam has drawn widespread condemnation after encouraging players to shoot gay and transgender people to earn points. The game, called Kill the Faggot, is modeled after a first-person shooter. Players earn points for killing gay characters and receive a bonus if they hit a transgender person, which prompts a message reading, "Transgender Kill," to flash on the screen. The project was created and uploaded by Randall Herman, a California video game developer and Christian shoe promoter.
Chelsea, one of New York's premier gayborhoods, has the highest syphilis infection rate of any area in the nation, with 93.3 cases diagnosed over 100,000 people. The infection rate in Chelsea is six times higher than the citywide average and handily surpasses San Francisco's 60 cases per 100,000. Because syphilis is difficult to detect early on, sufferers are more likely to inadvertently spread it.
In world news, in Canada's Prince Edward Island, the Liberals won their third consecutive election on May 4th. Wade McLaughlin, who became Liberal leader on February 21st, is the province's 32nd premier. McLaughlin will also make history as the province's first elected openly gay premier.
Australia's most prominent Muslim lawmaker went public with his support for same-sex marriage. Ed Husic became the first member of his faith community to be elected to the Australian Parliament. Husic had previously opposed same-sex marriage, but now says he didn't really have an issue with it as a moderate Muslim and that he was just waiting for the mood in his electorate to catch up.
Luxembourg Prime Minister Xavier Bettel went partner Dossier Destiné a few months after the tiny country legalized same-sex marriage. Bettel became prime minister in 2013 at the age of just 40.
An Egyptian court has upheld the deportation of a Libyan man accused of homosexuality in a move that could lay the legal groundwork for other expulsions. The administrative court rejected an appeal by the man, who was arrested in 2008 and deported after a legal complaint was filed alleging that he was gay. Egyptian authorities have accelerated arrests of LGBT people and those engaging in perceived dissident forms of sexuality and gender since the military overthrew the Islamist president Mohamed Morsi in July of 2013.
Dozens of traffic lights in Vienna, Austria, are being equipped with symbols representing loving gay couples holding hands. A total of 49 intersections have received the temporary overhaul ahead of the flamboyant Eurovision Song Contest, which is due to be hosted in the Austrian capital on May 23rd. Eurovision is enormously popular among gay communities across Europe, in part because of bearded Austrian transgender artist Conchita Wurst's triumph at last year's event.
The Catholic Church in Germany has decided to relax its requirement that its employees live publicly in line with the church's teaching on all issues. Previously, if someone working for a Catholic organization in Germany was discovered to have divorced or remarried or begun a relationship with a person of the same sex, that person would be fired. Under new rules, only the most serious breaches will lead to termination.
In entertainment news, Chris Carmack, who plays a closeted singer on ABC's Nashville, has just released the new track, Being Alone, available now on iTunes. The song will be on his forthcoming EP, Pieces of You, slated for release this spring.
Empire, the hip-hop soap opera, will officially have 18 episodes for its sophomore run. However, the season will be split into halves. Also, for season two, singer-songwriter Ne-Yo, in addition to Timbaland, will contribute to the drama's music.
Just 2 weeks after WNBA star Brittany Griner and fiancé slash fellow basketball player Glory Johnson were arrested on assault and disorderly conduct allegations, the couple tied the knot in a ceremony in Phoenix, Arizona. About 75 guests looked on as the brides, both 24, were married.
Miley Cyrus is launching the Happy Hippie Foundation to help homeless and LGBT youth, adding that not all her past relationships were straight heterosexual ones. Cyrus was moved by the suicide of transgender teen Lila Alcorn last December. She wants to use her fame for good, calling Bruce Jenner my hero for shining light on transgender issues. Cyrus says she doesn't limit herself sexually speaking.
Mariah Carey kicked off her Las Vegas residency at Caesar's Palace by proving beyond any doubt that she can still bring the house down with her huge range and high notes. She sang all 18 of her number one hits, plus her new song, Infinity. She also had 6 costume changes and 1 hair change during the hour and 45-minute show. Mariah, number one to Infinity, runs through July at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas.
Stephanie Mills, the original Broadway star of The Wiz, is on board to play Aunt Em in NBC's live musical update of the African-American spin on The Wizard of Oz, set to air December 3rd. Producers Craig Zaden and Neil Marin are returning to produce The Wiz, which will also lead to a Broadway revival in 2016.
British singer Sam Smith is undergoing surgery after developing vocal cord hemorrhage. The star has canceled a string of global tour dates, including concerts in Australia, Japan, and the Philippines.
And the 2015 television season is shaping up to be the season of openly gay creator Greg Berlanti, who will oversee at least 6 primetime network shows. Berlanti will run Blindspot, Supergirl, DC's Legends of Tomorrow, Mysteries of Laura, Arrow, and The Flash. In the past, Berlanti oversaw shows such as Everwood, as well as Brothers and Sisters.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hello, everyone. I'm Coco Peru, and you are listening to Windy City Queercast.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of May 18th, 2015, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Experience the Pulitzer Prize-winning play Doubt, a riveting story of authority, suspicion, and religion, staged by Writers Theatre in an exciting site-specific production in the library at the Glencoe Union Church. Under the direction of William Brown, the production has been called explosive and riveting, a genuine stunner by the Chicago Sun-Times, and the Tribune says that Karen Janis Wodich gives one of the best performances of the year. Don't miss Doubt at Writers Theatre, just minutes from downtown Chicago on the Edens or Metra. For tickets to Doubt, visit writerstheatre.org.
Chicago Children's Theatre presents the world premiere of Wonderland, Alice's Rock and Roll Adventure. Lewis Carroll's story is brought to life, featuring a rocking soundtrack and a charming cast of characters as 7-and-a-half-year-old Alice searches for her own musical voice. Now playing through May 24th at the Ruth Page Center for the Arts. Tickets at chicagochildrenstheater.org.
Lifeline Theater concludes its 32nd season of Big Stories Up Close with Soon I Will Be Invincible, a world premiere musical based on the 2007 superhero novel by Austin Grossman. Running May 29th through July 19th, more at lifelinetheater.com. Don't miss the exciting musical premiere, Soon I Will Be Invincible.
Award-winning Porchlight Music Theater presents Stephen Sondheim's hilarious classic, A Funny Thing Happened, on the way to the Forum at Stage 773 now through May 24th. For tickets to A Funny Thing Happened on the way to the Forum, visit porchlightmusictheater.org. It's time for Comedy Tonight. And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Hi there, this is Deb Pierce reminding you it's okay. Go ahead. You're not alone. Post a comment.
Come on, Annie. Let's go to the movies.
Let's go see the stars.
cowboy heroes, cops and robbers, glamour and strife, bigger than life. Sitting in the darkness, what a world to see. Let's go to the movies anyway.
Well, Richard, it is summer, 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 and that means movies, movies, movies. We've already talked about some of the big blockbusters this year, starting out with Avengers and Mad Max, which are already in theaters. Heading into Tomorrowland, Jurassic World, the new Terminator, the new Mission Impossible, Ant-Man. I just like saying it. In Chicago, people are going to say that so different. Ant-Man. Nobody's going to say it like that in the South. In Tennessee, it's going to be, did you go see that Ant-Man? It'll be totally
Ant-Man.
Different. But,
San Andreas Fault, you got to get that in there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Dwayne The Rock Johnson in a T-shirt and the whole, you know, come on, East West Coast being destroyed. Yes. There's nothing like a disaster picture.
I got to tell you, my father and I, this is a little side story about my dad. My dad and I were talking about, I don't know why I'm even bringing this up. But anyhow, this summer, this past year, my dad and I were talking about something. And I was like, well, he's a really good looking guy or something. You know, he's a good looking, you know, male actor. My dad said, oh, I don't think he's good looking. Like, now, what about The Rock? That's what my dad I was like, oh, are you there?
I'm listening and I'm laughing.
Okay.
And
I blew the speaker.
Whenever you talk to Dwayne Johnson, you must tell him that. That's the ultimate compliment.
Exactly.
My
dad thinks that, you know, I think The Rock. What about The Rock? He's
a
good-looking
guy. He's
like, oh, God, Dad, he would not be my type even if I wasn't gay. But
Speaking of good-looking,
yes.
I'm just going to segue. I got to get a mention in for Man From U.N.C.L.E.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we're not really into the quote-unquote gay area, but talk about bromance big time with Henry Cavill and Armie Hammer. I know how you say their names, but
Hammer.
Those big boys.
Mm-hmm. Superman now,
yes.
Right? So he's passed that on to, I guess, Ben Affleck. Ben Affleck and who else is? Or maybe he is doing the film. I can't remember. The Batman Superman.
I think Ben Affleck is doing
Batman, right?
Is doing Batman and he's doing Superman.
Okay, well then he'll be back for that. But
so it's going to be two nipple ponies.
Exactly. But this is a Man From U.N.C.L.E. Tell us about that film.
It's the TV show.
I don't remember the TV
show. For
those
that you're so young, It's from the 60s. It was kind of like one of those spy shows. And Robert Vaughn played the very suave James Bond-like kind of guy. And I can't remember the other guy's name who played the Russian agent. They worked together and solved crimes. It was a huge hit, and it spawned a spinoff called The Girl From U.N.C.L.E. for a couple seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And
Was it serious, or was it a comedy?
Oh, no, it was a series. It was very James Bondish.
Because, you know, I feel like there were so many things like Get Smart and all that kind of stuff during that time period. I guess it more
right,
70s.
Which was in the same genre. But no, the Robert Vaughn character, which Henry Cavill is playing, is kind of like the womanizer, you know, really, you know, chick magnet kind of thing.
Okay.
And then the other guy is kind of like the smarty, the egghead, who's,
yep.
you know, secretly also very cute, but
yes.
very smart. So
mm-hmm.
It looks like there's a little bit of kind of that undertone, which I like a lot. That kind of man-on-man thing.
Well, then let's just go right there to the LGBT films. The other man-on-man thing that I think is going to be obviously having it's going to be like the Bravo Network. All women and gay men will be going. Is Magic Mike XXL is coming back out July 1st. Also
July
for
1st.
4th of July weekend. And I mean, I have two words as to why this will be a huge hit. Channing Tatum. That's it. That's all
Channing
I need to say.
Tatum.
Come on.
I would add Joe Manganiello.
Yes.
Matt Bomer.
Yep.
Oh my God. I can't even think of the other guy's names. The one thing I'm going to say that I hope that they do in this one that they didn't do in the first one is there was like no hint of any kind of gay anything.
Yep.
Which is complete horseshit.
I'm sorry.
Any man who works in an industry where he's taking his clothes off knows that this late stage in the game that he's a turn on to men as well as women, and uses that.
Right, of course.
You know? I mean, there was kind of a hint that maybe at one point Matthew McConaughey's character might have been gay for pay. I mean, so many, this is a huge industry, is this gay for pay.
Right.
That we have these quote-unquote straight gay porn stars. So I hope that they get into that area because it's a really big area. Plus, you know, there's been all these kind of, you know, internet rumors about Channing Tatum and, you know.
I think that's wishful thinking. But if he was or wasn't, I wouldn't care. But
Whatever. I just hope that the movie kind of addresses that because it's got to be a huge part of that industry.
Yeah, absolutely. Coming out in theaters here just in days or at least to the Chicagoland area in a wider release, is the new film about Yves Saint Laurent, which I think looks amazing and fascinating. And have you had any tips about this?
This is the second, interestingly enough, this is the second biopic in a year about the French, you know, legendary gay fashion director who was the youngest designer ever to take on is it Chanel House or Dior? Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, was very successful and then had this kind of this lover on the side who became the business person who helped him. And then, of course, the 70s come along and they got into, you know, the excessive Studio 54 kind of life.
Right.
You know, a little bit of excessive stuff there. I haven't seen this version yet. I know that the first version I saw, the other one, really addressed it head on. And you're never quite sure sort of what sort of drove him. He was really an enigma, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love any kind of fashion thing anyway. So I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah. I mean, all I've heard is that it's lush and fabulous to look at. And I haven't seen reviews yet, but it has gotten some, just some of the imagery and just some of the shots. And then this actor playing him is just, looks amazing. He's actually very hot. So
I do want to add that I believe this version was done with the cooperation of his surviving partner.
Oh, okay. And this one's just called Saint Laurent is what this one is called. There's another film that's coming out that has one of our favorite people in the world, Lily Tomlin. Coming out. Tell us about that film.
It's a road film called Grandma, which is coming out August 21st. And, oh my gosh, Lily Tomlin plays a lesbian.
What? Who would have thunk it? That's
who
such a stretch
ever thought
for
Lily
her.
Tomlin, our beloved Lily Tomlin.
Well,
who,
it's funny because she and Jane Fonda, you know, had this new series, which I haven't watched on Netflix. I think it's Netflix, where they play two women whose husbands leave them for each other. And with Martin Sheen and
Sam Waterston,
which I really want to watch just because I love all four of those people so much. How wonderful to watch them all in a series. But Grandma, it's a road comedy.
And her granddaughter is pregnant and she sort of helps her. I think it's a road dramedy. I don't think it's so much a comedy. It's more of a dramedy. But, you know what, comment, of course, I haven't seen it yet. I've just seen some stills and trailers. You know, I love that she's playing a lesbian. I think it's fabulous.
Yeah, yeah. You know, one of the companies that continues to put out great, great movies and great documentaries is IFC. And they have a new documentary or film out. I guess it would be a documentary. Do I Sound Gay? Which, you know, at first when I heard that movie was coming out and that's the title of it, I was like, oh, is that making fun of us or is that like our film? And then when I was looking into it, I was like, oh, no, it's people that you would want to be sounding out on that a little bit. Have you had
George
a chance
Takei
to see it yet?
And Margaret Cho are you know, a part. And I believe that the premise of the film is, yeah, they're asking people, do I sound gay? Is there a gay kind of voice now? Mm-hmm. You know, this whole era that we could pick out anybody who was gay, now with the age of the metrosexual, that's not so true anymore.
Yep.
Right? You can point at somebody and say, oh, that person's gay. Well, maybe not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's truly is this kind of exploration, right? Of just pattern, slang, rhythm, tone, affectations. And I think there's a lot of really impressive people in it. Like you said, Margaret Cho, Dan Savage, David Sedaris, Tim Gunn. I mean, I think they interview a lot of people who sound gay, but whatever that means, I don't know what that means.
It means that they sound like us.
Yeah, it means that they sound like us.
Or yeah. Maybe, you know, because we all, at least I grew up when it was very, you could all sort of talk and lisp and immediately, I mean, it was socially correct. You know, it was no problem. You know, all on Ed Sullivan, somebody could come out and start lisping Don Rickles and it was fine. Everybody could laugh and it was no big deal. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. I'm fascinated by that. I think it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's going to be cool, too. And that's coming out right after 4th of July, in the middle of July. Probably we'll have a minimal release and then a wide release. One of the things that I'm really excited about, and I hope people have had a chance to catch it. I am actually probably going to watch it tomorrow night, but because it's in my DVR, but it's going to repeat over and over and over again because, thank God, now great filmmaking and storytelling comes right into our living rooms. HBO has released this new film, Bessie with Queen Latifah. Have you had a chance to see it? And
Yes, and I actually spoke with Dee Reese, the writer, director of the piece, who is an openly gay African-American woman who made this sensational debut film called Pariah.
Yes.
Which is based on kind of her own coming out in the Bronx. And if you haven't seen it, it's absolutely sensational. Much more than, quote unquote, just an African-American teenage girl coming out.
Yeah.
So beautiful. I mean, the thing that I love about Dee's work is that she marries this phenomenal technique with this feeling for actors and this compelling storytelling. I've never seen Queen Latifah go for broke like this.
Wow.
And I love, you know,
Queen Latifah has gone for broke sometimes. She throws down.
To me, like you mentioned earlier, George Clooney is somebody that, you know, audiences just gravitate to. I feel that way about Queen Latifah. When she is on a talk show or in a movie or anything, I'm sort of sit up at attention and I'm happy. It's like Ellen DeGeneres. You're just, you know, all of a sudden you're like happy. And she has that kind of warmth that she brings with her. Mm-hmm. But when she gets into these complex areas, like in the film Living Out Loud.
I love that movie. So I was just going to say that movie. I was going to say when I first saw her sing in that movie in that way, I was like, oh my God. I remember it so vividly, her in that film.
And she does that and 10 times more in Bessie. She really goes, and there is no apology about this woman was bisexual. We're talking about Bessie Smith, who is this legendary blues singer in the early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and really, you know, and I should say she's from Chattanooga, Tennessee. So I've known who Bessie Smith is most of my life because Bessie Smith is heralded as being from Chattanooga.
But Dee told me she's a Tennessee woman, and she said that's exactly part of why I wanted to do this, because I'm a Tennessee woman.
Funny.
And from the moment I was a child, my mother played me Bessie Smith. My grandmother played her, and you're right. That's exactly what. That's so funny you say that, because that's what she said to me.
Yeah. I mean, we know about it because there's just Bessie Smith things. Like, there's the Bessie Smith strut, and there's a street with Bessie Smith. I mean, it's like everywhere. I mean, she was, you know, probably the first celebrity from that town. You know, that's that town. It's, you know, a city, town, whatever. But, you know, and she was so she imprinted upon the fabric of everything that came after her so strongly, whether it was Billie Holiday or I mean, honestly, almost any blues female singer past her, I would imagine.
Well, and really probably any feminist, because you see that she's very unapologetically presented as she was, bisexual. She is seen with her female lover, who's a composite character. She's seen with men. And she remains this mystery, mm-hmm. which is something that is very hard to do. It was kind of like what the director did with La Vie en Rose, with Marion Cotillard, that you never quite understand the demons that are inside that Edith Piaf character. And I can't even tell you, not only does she pull off the singing so beautifully, but she gives this ferocious performance. And at one point, she comes into her dressing room and removes her clothes, and it's not titillating. It's like she's removing the armor, and you kind of see this inner... I can't even say enough about it. I loved it.
Well, I can't wait. I hope everybody will see this. I have a feeling that HBO's probably done it again, and they've put the right director and the right actors with it. And, you know, I think they shot it all around Atlanta and you know, south of Chattanooga. Maybe they filmed some in Chattanooga, I don't know, but in the right area. And, you know, it's also one of these things that we're so used to with, like, the from the Kurt Cobain back to the Janis Joplin to, like, the Jimi Hendrix, these blues artists who died very, very young, but she equally died very, very young and very, very tragically. And I'm assuming that's part of the story, or if it's not, then...
Well, you know, actually, it's not, or what? I think what's great about it, and what Dee told me, is that everybody—that's like the one thing everybody knows about Bessie Smith.
Oh,
that
really?
You know, that she died young, and that she was this great blues singer, and she really gets beneath, and you see there was so much more to her. I mean, she was the highest paid black entertainer of her time.
Yeah.
And there's a world. She did the same thing in Pariah that you just don't see in movies.
Yeah.
How many movies do you see about a teenage black girl in the Bronx?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And
so
to see vaudeville in, you know, which was kind of, you know, the black entertainers in the 20s, and she surrounds her with all these great actors. The scenes between Queen Latifah and Monique are tremendous.
Oh, wow. Who does Monique play?
She plays Ma Rainey, so she's kind of the mentor, and there's a really sort of interesting combative thing that happens between them. So, you know, I always feel like I'm the HBO, you know, publicist, because I love their stuff so much.
But they do it right. And like I said, you know, I mean, they're probably, I guess I lost my train of thought there, but what I was going to say is they match the right director, get the right, you know,
right, they
characters,
take their time,
and then they're going to, you know, it's going to be like what happened with Behind the Candelabra, or, you know, or the normal heart,
last year with Ryan Murphy.
And how much they are really telling stories that are LGBT is just outstanding, and then they rack up all these awards. So I think it makes perfect sense that in the summer we'll be talking about LGBT films of interest, that one of them would come from HBO. Of course it will.
And they also have this Larry Kramer documentary coming up in June that I haven't seen it yet, but I'm so psyched to see it. So
yeah, well, just here at the tail end, we'll talk about a few comedies. I know that Pixar has their first movie coming out in a few years, Pixar Disney, with Inside Out, which I saw a trailer for this a long time ago, and I'm pretty excited about it because it looks like a really funny premise. Like, it's each one of these little characters is like a personality trait that we have, like whether it's sadness or anxiety or, like, you know, joy or whatever. It looks very, very different than the
Well, I'm trying to think of a Pixar movie that I have not loved.
Yeah.
And I'm coming up blank.
Yeah.
What was their last one? I loved WALL-E. I love Incredibles.
Yeah.
I love Finding Nemo.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so I can't wait to see it.
It's got a great cast of, you know, Mindy Kaling and Bill Hader and Amy Poehler. It's going to be great. And then, you know, I think the film that is like, I kind of went, wow, I just discovered this person. I know I'm late to the party, but Amy Schumer's new film Trainwreck, also with Bill Hader,
with Bill Hader,
which is coming out, that, I'm very, very interested to see if that's going to just really make it to where everybody in the world knows who she is. I mean, maybe everybody already does, and I'm just so late to the party. But
no, I'm late too. But I love him now because of that movie, The Skeleton Twins. I don't know if you've seen it
with Kristen Wiig. Yeah.
He kind of leapt forward like 20 paces. And I know we're talking about kid stuff, but I got to mention one more LGBT thing.
Oh, no.
Because, you know, July, it's called Mr. Holmes.
Okay.
And it stars Sir Ian McKellen as a 93-year-old Sherlock Holmes, directed by Bill Condon, the guy who did Dreamgirls and did The Twilight Movie, who's gay, and also did, this is their first movie together since Gods and Monsters.
Oh, exciting.
So, yeah, I think, you know, I can't wait for that one. That's my other one I can't wait for this summer.
All right, that's coming out July 7th. That comes out the same week as Trainwreck.
So as Trainwreck.
Double feature, right there.
Definitely a movie. And there are a couple other kids' movies. Minions. Have you followed the Despicable Me?
This is
what the little yellow critters get their own picture.
Yes. I love they get their own picture. Yeah. I love those little guys. Oh,
yeah.
My doggy.
So I think that looks pretty good. Your dog loves that one.
That dog loves the little creatures. I will say that, you know, I've got to get in the movie theater this week, though, because really, I mean, I've kind of kept my ears closed. I don't know anything about it except when I saw the trailer. I was like, I don't care. This is like going to be my favorite thing to see with a bucket of popcorn is going to be Pitch Perfect 2.
I knew you were going to say that.
And it may be the gayest movie of the whole summer because I just love how queer Pitch Perfect was. And
yeah.
I just know that Pitch Perfect 2 is going to be equally deliciously.
Well, it's hard to go wrong with Anna Kendrick, and Rebel Wilson is pretty fun too.
OMG, so. I cannot wait. Well, Richard, we have to start getting ready to go see movies. If you had one movie, what is the one you're most excited about seeing this summer?
I have to say probably Jurassic World.
Yeah.
When you talk at the start of the program about summer movie experiences, I will never forget seeing that in 1993. And right at the end, I was with a friend of mine. She said, let's go on the ride again.
Yep.
We got right back in line and saw it again.
Oh, my God. Well, we should get together and go see that together. And I'll bring some kids along because they will. It's always
They'll
fun.
Probably scream, yeah.
It's really fun to go see those kind of movies with kids. Well, I'm excited about that one as well. I don't know what I'm most excited about seeing. Right now, I'm most excited about turning on my DVR and seeing Bessie. So I'm going to watch Bessie, but I guess I'm intrigued as well. I know Jurassic World will be a great, great ride, and I don't normally want to go see horror movies, but I'm wondering if I'm really excited to see Poltergeist this year. So we will see.
Did you see the Babadook?
No, that's too real scary. I can't see that.
Oh, okay. You can't do real scary.
I can't do real scary. Although I think Poltergeist may be real scary and it may freak me out. But yeah, I don't know. I don't even know why I'm saying Poltergeist, but I'm just kind of, I remember so much seeing that as a young kid. And so maybe that one is what I'm excited about. But I'm also excited about Magic Mike because I'm just a strange lesbian like that. So.
Okay. And I can't wait for Mr. Holmes.
Well, so. There you go. But that makes sense. I like that.
Yeah.
Well, let's go see Jurassic World together. And I hope all of you get your big bucket of popcorn and go to the movies. And definitely look for the HBO film on Larry Kramer and also watch Bessie. It's one not to be missed on HBO as well.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Knight Jr., you can see his column in Windy City Times regularly, Night at the Movies. And Richard, I appreciate so much you being on with us and helping us look forward to this amazing summer of 2015.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.